Welcome to the Gatecast.
We're off to see the wizard.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I was going to do my living room like this.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Good evening, folks. I'd like to start by saying I sat down and listened to about 15 minutes of Secrets. Unfortunately, I had to go out. And I want to praise publicly Mike's remarkable editing skills.
Oh,
as I believe you said, Mike, it takes a lot of work to make us sound like we know what we're talking about.
It does indeed. It really takes some effort to keep listening to myself over and over and over again.
Vanity, thy name is not Mike.
Like I say, it's bad enough listening to the same content two or three times. But when you listen to yourself and you're thinking, I'm not quite sure that sounds like me either. Or should I say it that other way? You can understand why some movies take a year to edit.
Well, no, I mean, like, I've edited, and in my experience, even if you're not dropping audio in, editing an episode, and this, folks, should go out because this lets you know the amount of effort Mike puts in. It's to edit sort of 5 minutes of content takes about 15 minutes.
On a bad day.
We're talking two to three times the length of the actual final record goes into editing it. Mostly because you're cutting out pauses and M's and A's and ums.
Yeah, and it's quite amazing how many I make during an hour's viewing.
There was, just to throw in an example, I don't know if you'll live this in or not, there was a guy called, he's known as Nordy, he's a movie reviewer, and he's from up around, he's up near the border, hence the name Nordy, but they were commenting on how often he says sort of. And in they took a 6 minute review he did of a movie, and he said sort of 87 times. And they just strung it all together and played while he was sitting in the studio.
Well, it's like the use of for sure by in football. A lot of foreign players say for sure, yeah, for sure, for sure. We tend to use indeed or of course.
Now that's weird because as you said indeed, I was searching for it in the transcript and I found it.
Yeah, but who says it?
O'Neill / Teok. I don't know if that's Teok in O'Neill's body or he says this is indeed uncomfortable.
It's not quite right. Getting closer though.
In fact, indeed it says several times in this episode.
They must have liked it.
Despite the, I mean, this is something you may have noticed, folks, I've dropped the indeed count. That's because it hasn't actually been said. We're almost finished season two and a word that Teok said so often that in Stargate Atlantis, it's pointed out as a joke by another character. He hasn't said it.
Indeed. You say that a lot. What? Indeed. Do I? Yeah. I had not noticed.
It probably indicates how often he does say it in later seasons.
The fact that like 40-odd episodes go by without him saying it once?
Yeah.
Strange.
We all have fond memories of the TV shows we watched growing up. Hi, I'm John Bailey.
And I'm Andy Bailey. Hey, Dad, what are some of the shows you grew up with?
Fireball XL5, The Invaders, Green Hornet, Time Tunnel. How about you?
Knight Rider, The Flash, Erie, Indiana, Pete and Pete, Amazing Stories.
You know, it'd be kind of fun to revisit some of those old shows and see how they hold up today. And that's where the TV Lounge comes in.
It's the podcast where we take older TV shows, go through them episode by episode with full recaps and our thoughts.
Some are quite good and others, well, Andy, you know, they're worth a look and they're worth our discussion.
Yeah. We're not going to cover any currently airing shows, just older programs.
So why not join us in the extra recliner here in the TV Lounge?
We're at tvloungepodcast.blogspot.com.
Anyway, they've actually used the word priestess. I appreciate that. Words like priestess aren't used enough. We have a rich and complex language, folks. We should use all the words. And if it means some of you listening have to get a dictionary, so be it.
Including myself.
I'm not that bad. Dalian Michello, and we know how to pronounce Michello because it's said in the episode, traps Daniel Jackson with his body-swapping invention, steals Daniel's body and escapes to Earth. As Daniel lays dying in Michello's ailing body, Jack and Teok attempt to help him, but they end up swapping bodies too. Can they find Michello and convince him to return to his own body in time to save Daniel? I mean, would you?
You see, because we didn't actually do the talk through last week, you know, reading the blurb, this episode kind of came as a bit of a surprise to me because I haven't seen it for years. I knew the basic plot, but the actual little twists and turns came as a bit of a surprise. Pleasant surprise.
Okay. The episode... No, I'll discuss the episode after this. I have it queued up and I'm going to hit play very shortly. Are you good to go?
I'm right where the line's ready to roar.
Likewise. 3, 2, 1... And we open with red pillars and a nice sort of vertical. Do you think that's the main set redressed or do you think that's the travel gate? Oh, that's a nice pulse. So a shot from over the top.
Yeah, they're experts at lighting these smaller sets.
It's probably that is actually quite small. The wall's fairly close.
Looks like somebody's closed up for the winter.
They've just got one big square room. That turn it into anything as long as it's roughly square.
DHD. Did they not even bother sending him out through?
I don't know. Okay, not this time.
Teal. Is this Guo technology?
Devices are unfamiliar to me.
It's amazing what you can do, though, with quite minimalist props. You know, some little ironwork, some red drapes.
Drapes?
Yeah, drapes.
Curtains, my dear boy. We Europeans. Curtains. characters in an alien language.
Something they haven't we haven't seen before. Not gold.
It's not ancient, either.
I wonder what's in there.
I have it there.
Behind the curtain. Come on, you should have been an Oz reference, at the very least.
I'm sure it is an Oz reference. He's an old man behind the curtain with magical powers.
They missed the opportunity for Jack to actually make reference to it.
It's so obvious. I mean, do you actually need to make it explicit?
Who are you?
Doesn't Carter look pretty wide-eyed there?
She does, yeah.
You are the one called Marcello, are you not?
Do I know you?
You do not. But I have seen images of you. Though your face had not seen as many years, it was you. Since before I was born, this man has been a fugitive from the System Lords.
So do we know who's playing Marcello?
Yes, I do. Do you?
No, I was speaking for the audience.
You don't recognise him, then?
He looks vaguely familiar, but...
He should look vaguely familiar. He's getting two paychecks for it.
That's Daniel?
That's Daniel. Michael Shanks playing both parts.
That's impressive. Makeup-wise, like...
It's virtually the only thing they've left of him is his eyes, really.
I wonder when Daniel reaches sort of 70 and looks back at this episode and thinks, how accurate did they get?
You are mistaken.
You don't have to be afraid. We're not ghouls.
I should have recognised that. You see, the problem is I've got the volume down to 38% and I can't really hear the voice.
Yeah.
And I should have guessed it was Daniel because you don't see the two of them in shot. God, this must have been a pain to film.
Well, when Battlestar were talking about having 4 or 5 characters of the same model on screen at a time, it would take hours to shoot just one sentence, one scene.
Well, presumably what you have to do is you have to shoot. I mean, they shot all of Marcello's dialogue. You see, it's not even a two shot. It's a dialogue shot without both of them in shot at the same time.
Yes, that's right. I am Daniel Jackson from the planet Earth. Pleased to meet you.
No, I'm Daniel Jackson.
No, I'm Daniel Jackson.
Presumably they have an extra or something reading the other lines and they shoot all the cellos. And then they shoot Daniel. We don't... I didn't realise it was him. That line takes on a whole new sort of irony there. Yes, I'm Daniel Jackson. I am, honest. This is a long old teaser. This is longer than usual. Our teasers usually come in at about 3 and a half minutes.
They must be into long teasers.
Are we sure we are not Guo?
You say a lot of this scene is actual visual, though, which you're going to be losing out on if you're just listening. The expressions on each face as Carter's tilts, and especially Jack's.
Here, quickly. Inventions to fight the Goa'ulds.
The machine.
cello's being played a bit senile, but as we soon find out...
His body seems oddly familiar.
Are you all right, sir?
Apart from the collapse, it was rather unspectacular, wasn't it?
He's got a faint pulse.
All right, Carter, why don't you dial us out of here? Teal'c, grab the gentleman. Let's take him back to the base.
Yes, sir.
I presume we're going to get Teal'c to carry you. Jack seemed to indicate to Teal'c, you know, we'll take the body with us as in, Black Man Mule, you pick body up. So, written by Tor Alexander Valenza.
Yep. He's written a few scripts for the show.
And directed by our regular for this season, David Worry Smith.
Indeed.
So, effectively, no guest stars. A cheap episode from that perspective.
They have one significant guest star who you'll probably recognise but probably won't know his name. Apart from that, it's pretty much a few one-liners.
Do we get a Walter?
I don't believe we do get a Walter.
Oh, I want Walter. I like Walter. That lightning striking the thing on the tower, is that from Touchstone? Or is that from season one?
No, that was Tormentor Tantalus when they had to power the gate up.
Dr. Fraser... Has she done anything since?
Yeah, she does a lot of genre work.
Well, everything seems fine. Yeah, all your numbers are normal.
Good. I feel fine.
Yeah? You seem a little out of it, Daniel. Is there something bothering you?
No. I'm just... exhausted.
Well, that's not unusual for someone who just received a high-voltage electric shock. Any idea what that machine was supposed to do?
Well, I did quite like the doctor they put in later seasons.
Not Mrs. Shanks.
That counts as a spoiler. You've said that before, haven't you? Alexa is actually married to Michael Shanks.
Yes, two or three times.
And she doesn't have issues with the fact that he had a kid with the actress who played his wife.
Well, believe it or not, you know, women are not always virgins when they get married either these days.
I'm conscious of that.
Michello's obviously fully in control of the body and doesn't have any of his memories. Or at least very few long-term memories. It seems he knows some basics.
He has severe scar tissue all over his body. Looks like he was burned or electrocuted.
Yes, we have a...
My guess is he was tortured.
He's not going to live much longer, is he?
I don't think
so. So this is sort of the device that Carter's playing with here is a kind of precursor to the eye touch.
Let's continue without Dr. Jackson. Captain Carter, you were about to brief us about the device?
Yes, sir. I believe it's some sort of database for all of Michello's inventions. These symbols are like icons on a computer. When I press one of them, a schematic diagram appears with notes on the side.
Any idea what any of it is?
Well, sir, that's the problem. It's not in any dialect that I understand. I was hoping that Daniel or maybe Teal'c could shed some light on these symbols.
And she tells her, cut back to...
To the general, then back to Sam.
Well, cut back to him, then to Jack.
Yeah, we're okay. Sorry about that, folks.
So she's handed the device to Teal'c.
Yeah.
He's looking at it in a slightly confused fashion. It's hard to tell, actually, with Teal'c, whether he's confused or just generically, stoically Teal'c-y.
Not any symbols he recognises. And he has been around a bit.
How are you, Dr. Jackson?
Tired. Dr. Fraser says it'll wear off in a few days. I'll be fine.
Daniel, do you recognize any of these symbols?
No.
Liar, Daniel.
He's lying. No, I have no idea what those symbols mean.
Who do you think I am, an archaeologist? Oops.
It's like the Silver Horde, you know? They don't move much, but every motion has an effect. Yes.
How many times have aliens infiltrated the SGC in the vain hopes of trying to get out the base, and he does it just like that?
Well, that's because he thinks he's him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's managed to pull off the deception.
Thank you, I'll be fine from here.
Yes, sir.
And this is shot in Vancouver, Mainland Street, anybody that knows the city.
So, did they? Is this an office building or is it an actual?
I don't know exactly what the building is. From the front, it could be actually anything.
And Daniel is sort of going,
Hey, back, yeah, cheeky sod. He sees a woman and off he goes.
Well, he's in a body that's capable of responding to the thoughts.
All of a sudden, bing.
You called, sir?
Jack, Sab, Teal'c. Finally.
How does this gentleman know our names?
As I've been trying to tell the general and the good doctor here, I am not Michello. I am Daniel Jackson.
Well, here we go.
I realize what I look like. But I'm telling you, that machine somehow switched us.
He knows a lot about Daniel.
Ask me anything. Something only Daniel would know.
Yes, now we have Daniel trying to...
Yeah, the problem, Michello's laid the groundwork for him to be considered a loon.
That's a nice line from Michello, though. When Jack... Sorry, I've been really having the transcript.
Yeah, I know. I figured you were off again. The problem, of course, with Michello answering these questions, if he's claiming their device swapped bodies, it could easily swap memories, so he could be fooling them. Sam's hair. You should be saying this. Sam's hair doesn't look that good today. That side shot.
I'm not very awake. I spent half the night playing with my new toy.
The dress your sister wore last week when I took her out.
I don't have a sister, Jack. And if I did, I wouldn't let you near her.
I assume is the comment you were talking about.
Can't say I blame him. I wouldn't let Jack near any sister I had either. I'll be willing to trade her for a trip to the gate. Since I don't have a sister, it's purely a hypothetical experiment.
Hello, friend. I am new to this area. I would like to learn about your culture and customs. Will you teach me? Do you not understand me?
Is there any change, please?
Why does no one answer me?
Because you're strange.
It's obviously not New York. He should have been mugged by now.
Yes. Do we know the actor who plays...
Alvin Sanders.
He looks vaguely familiar.
That's it. I know. You know the face, but you probably don't know the name. Hmm. He's been in a ton of TV. Smallville, Human Target.
Talking all weird like that, asking for stuff.
Isn't that what you are doing?
Well, yeah, but...
Then you must be strange as well.
I can call worse. Show. I'm strange, too.
I am called Michello.
I'm Fred.
And he's getting a sort of lecture in culture and customs.
Yeah,
and his hair is not so good. It's blowing around. He's obviously not used the mousse. They're happy.
Michello's fortunate. He's found somebody as strange as he is.
Is that a bike or is it a guy carrying a white thing in the background? I presume these are all extras. They had to just shot out in the street.
They must have done. That would have cost a ridiculous amount of money to have all those extras.
Well, not really. I mean, they get paid, I think, about $50 a day plus lunch. So not that expensive to make it look realistic.
How?
Well, I can't tell you the method used to do it, General, but I can tell you that our personality, our memory, our conscious selves are derived from unique networks of neurons in the cerebral cortex. Somehow, Daniel's networks were remapped onto the old man's by that alien device.
So this could be a one-way deal, right?
I'm not following, sir.
We don't know that it went both ways. Daniel could still be Daniel.
Daryl's hair looks good, if rather molded. That's it. That's what happens. Terrell Rothery stole Carter's moose.
Oh, perhaps...
He's giving a dirty look there. You know, you nicked my moose. How dare you?
The bottle was empty. The bottle was empty when I got to it. Who took this? My name was on it. Look, it says Sam. That's your character, Amanda. Oh.
General, wouldn't it be a little easier if we just went back, got this machine, tried to slam it into reverse?
All right, Colonel, retrieve it. But consider that device hazardous material. Prepare yourself accordingly.
Yes, sir.
That's it, Jack. Grab the machine and slam it into reverse. You really don't think it's going to be that easy, do you?
That reminds me, actually. Do I have season 10?
I think we've got a while to go before you really need to worry about that.
No, I do need more shelving. I've run out. Here's the thing, because later in the episode, they do actually bring the machine back. How do they carry it?
Did I miss why
that we're in... obviously. And clearly it works through the biohazard suit, yeah. Was it?
Was there anything in the transcript why they're wearing biohazard?
Oh, I see. He's slotting these things onto it.
And will that work, though?
Probably not.
All right, let me get mine on first here. All right, on three. One, two.
Colonel!
Don't do that to me when I'm just about to.
Captain.
Sorry, I think I know how Michello has lived so long. I think this is some sort of medical device. There's all sorts of tubes and thermal units that look like they're for life support.
But Michello was conscious when we found him.
Well, maybe it's triggered to automatically deactivate when someone comes through the gate.
Then we can place Daniel Jackson in the hibernation chamber so his body can be maintained.
Yeah, possibly. If I can figure out how to get it to work again.
How long, Captain?
I don't know, sir. I might not be able to figure it out at all.
Well, then let's just get this thing back to Earth. Might be all we need.
Ah, so some say Michello's probably been in hibernation just waiting for somebody to come along. Makes you wonder exactly how old he is, both in actual years and actual time span. I suppose if the gourd is so hot for him, he must have been around for a hell of a long time. Didn't sound good.
Yep. And Garrett's kind of going,
yep.
Oh.
Say something, guys.
How did it go, Colonel?
It did not go well, General Hammond.
Yes, that didn't go well, General.
You think? This is indeed uncomfortable.
I get the impression that... Oh, God. My brain really isn't awake today.
Tilk.
I'm blanking completely.
Christopher.
Christopher, thank you. Had great fun playing Jack as him.
He's playing it a bit larger than life, a little bit exaggerated. Whereas Jack's doing pretty much the exact opposite. Or RDA's doing the exact opposite.
Have they located Dr. Jackson?
No, they're still looking. The good news is I found the switching device on Michello's computer. Problem is all of the notations are in that strange dialect. You know, when you think about it, it's actually kind of a good thing that this happened. I mean, I can experiment with the two of you, and then when we find Daniel, Michello, we can reverse the process. Assuming, of course, that it's reversible.
Captain, can we just get on with this?
Right. Well, I couldn't find any buttons or switches. So unless I've missed something, it must be triggered by the handles themselves. I think that we should try different ways of grasping the handles. First, let's just try grasping it normally, the same way you did before.
Matron, please, I'm not that kind of doctor.
He looks mildly stoned. Or possibly constipated, that's it. He looks constipated. Maybe that's Teok's problem. He doesn't relax until he actually gets some laxative.
Could be, yep. His butt cheeks are really well squeezed. He get, like I say, he gets a smile in this episode. He gets to use facial expressions, everything he learned in acting school.
All right. Maybe there's an in and an out handle. You switch sides.
That's a good idea. That is
to do with it. Hang on a second. Character wants to experiment with them.
Well, I suppose at the very least, you know, these pair have got to try it again.
So how did they get the machine back? They never explained that. How was it carried back?
Well, one shove it onto a dolly and just wheel it out.
We did not make progress.
Okay, maybe it has something to do with the order in which you grab the handles.
I suppose there's absolutely no problem if one person touches it. And in that, of course there is. Yes, Sam, this is a rather silly idea, isn't it?
Right.
Well, the look on the face as they spun it round, Tilk, a.k.a. Jack, just looked at her as if, come on, you've got to be kidding me, aren't you? Perhaps you've got to be standing on one leg. It's a million to one chance.
Million to one chance has come through every time. 99 times over 100. Carter actually looks upset.
This likely means my body has contracted an illness my symbiote must repair.
Illness. Great.
It is common. The symbiote will remedy the problem.
Okay. When?
It can only accomplish its work if you put your body into a state of Kel-No-Reen.
Translation, Duke.
Similar to a state of hibernation.
Meditation.
Perhaps. But I sense much deeper than that of any human meditation. It is imperative that you do this, O'Neill. or my body will be as if it has no immune system.
Okay. Tell me what to do.
RDA has gone back to the generic I am possessed by someone acting style.
That must be rather... mind you... No, forget it. Yeah, Junior is playing up. Tilk's body's got some sort of infection.
Yes. Now, you see, if he wants to achieve a state of Cal Nuree, give him a few totes on a joint. You know, get him stones like, I'm relaxed now.
Yeah, just to ratchet up the suspense.
Yes, suddenly Tilk might be dying.
Yeah.
So you're telling me this is just going to get worse?
If you do not perform Cal Nuree, it could lead to my death. Rather, your death.
What do I do?
Please, receive it.
I'm not sure the episode needed it, but I suppose you're getting the making the most out of the personality swap exchange.
He really doesn't look well, does he? Why all the candles? Is Cal Nuree sort of New Age thing?
Well, they store it on Star Trek.
And the cheap plastic industrial chair. Come on. I spent hours sitting in those things on hospital corridors when I was a kid.
Assume this is Tilk's room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jack could probably have a comfy chair. He'd demand it.
Not even the proper chair. Jack would have the widescreen TV.
Yeah, and everything. His Simpsons VHSs next to it. A little fridge for his beer. Meanwhile, Fred and Cello's going for a feast in a little diner.
In Vancouver.
Yep, Davy Street. In Vancouver.
You've done research.
I've done research, yes.
I'm impressed.
Okay, normally if that you said that in a bar, you'd get a few more cheers.
Hmm.
The waitress, played by Melanie Skihar.
Melanie unpronounceable, okay.
Well trained in getting the credit card off the guy.
Will one of these cards do?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that one will do very nicely.
Yes, the gold one. Let's take that one.
This is the last day on this job, because that card's going to get used a hell of a lot.
I would be honored by a kiss.
Yeah, I bet you would.
He's a fast little sod, isn't he? Come on, love, you've got his gold card out of him. At least you can do is kiss him. Daniel's not a bad-looking bloke.
I'm not feeling any better.
You have not yet reached Cal Nuree.
So how do I do it?
Relax. Concentrate. You must imagine the center of your mind and focus. Allow it to take you into a waking sleep. There you will dream. When you do so, it will be in harmony with the symbiote. Your subconscious minds will be as one. At that moment, you will have achieved Cal Nuree.
This is a sort of reversal. We have RDA trying to teach RDA how to thingy. Yes, I think you can cover this data nicely with the actual piece.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm listening to myself. I'm just thinking it's pretty basic. You know, you'd want to give him something a little bit more concrete to meditate on. Concentrate on the centre of your mind and, well, what is that? Imagine Homer in his hammock, drinking beer, back and forth, rocking back and forth.
Quite.
Mind you, that's a problem with Tilk trying to describe it to him. I mean, Tilk's frame of reference is limited at this stage.
Because
he lives on base still.
And Daniel's trying to figure it out.
The alphabets may be the same, but it's an entirely original language. There's no sentence structure. There's no...
Take it easy. His blood pressure's going up. He's not responding. Let's get a CT and check for hemorrhage and get a respirator ready just in case. Janet? He's not responsive. He's in a coma.
Yeah. So, Michello has not only come up with an unbreakable code, but in a whole new language. None of this word and number beep, rearrangement.
Beep, 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 beep.
Hang in there, Daniel. Don't die on us.
Oh, that reminds me. Sorry, reading slightly ahead. I have magnums in the freezer.
A bit cool for a magnum, isn't it?
Yeah, but I find ice cream does wonders for a hangover. It's not that cool. I can see my pet mountain. I may have said this before, folks, but grew up in housing estates, so when I moved to the countryside, having wake up to see rolling green fields and a mountain is a pleasant distraction, as opposed to, say, several large bore exhaust cars with tinted windows and idiots hanging around them. Please leave that in. Yes, the hot fudge melts the ice cream.
Well, that explains a lot.
I continued to fight and lost all that I loved and cared for. But I knew I could not surrender. For you. If it were not for me, you would all be conquered by now.
By who? Saddam?
He is not a system, Lord, I am familiar with. But several others would have wiped you out.
Whatever you say, man.
I'm wondering if he's getting brain freeze.
Yeah, so he has to pause for a bit.
And no. I'm thinking, how many takes did Daniel insist for this scene?
Yeah, keep filling it up,
can
lads.
Can we do that again?
You just imagine.
Not the ice cream.
Yeah, just imagine someone using shaving foam for one scene. So we get Fred, who's a Vietnam vet.
Hmm?
We get a bit of a background on Fred. He's ex-military. Just ask Daniel Michello, was he a soldier? And he says, yes, he was a soldier. Then throws in the bombshell that I've protected your world from forces that would wipe you out. And Fred's a bit sceptical on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you may put on a little weight if you're eating like that, though.
Yes, burgers and French fries. And...
Yep.
Yes, because as I might have said previously, in the States, my dad, despite me actually telling him several times, insisted on going up and ordering burger and chips. He got funny looks from the Americans, and she was like, I remember it was in Atlanta Airport, and she's like, you sure that's what you want, sir? Yeah, burger and chips. I'm like, I said to him, Dad, it's not like you haven't seen this before. So yes, it's a solid comment on French fries.
If I am to remain in this body, I must shave my head.
What's Jack doing?
You're making a joke, right?
I'm not joking.
Teal'c, you will not shave my head.
It is presently my head, O'Neill.
Teal'c, this is temporary.
And if it is not?
Just give him the chance to find Daniel, okay?
He's quite serious.
Teal'c, I'm going to see General Hammond.
Oh, yes, I have to shave your head. That's never explained either. Why does Teal'c shave his head?
It must be his status of being a... Well, he can't be First Prime because we've seen First Primes with hair.
Hmm.
Unless, you know, when you do get to wear one of them little skull caps, you are expected to shear your hair right down. But Jack is really serious about Teal'c not shaving his hair off.
There's a nice exchange here between Hammond and O'Neill / Teal'c.
Yeah.
Sir, I feel like I need to be involved in finding Daniel.
Well, I think we may have him, sir. Daniel's credit card was just used at a local diner.
Request permission to go there, sir.
Denied. You'll remain here until they bring him in. Be patient, Colonel.
I can't be patient, sir. Daniel is dying. And I'd rather we get to Michello than risk some Yahoo civvy officer shooting him and blowing any chance we have of saving him.
Much as I'd like to, you're not exactly yourself. Request denied.
So the I'm getting the sort of format that they put this in the transcript. Teal'c / O'Neill means Teal'c in O'Neill's body.
Right.
So technically, we could argue that the indeed count for this episode is one.
If you
because
want.
It is coming out of Teal'c's mouth.
How does one court a wife, Fred?
Usually with lots of time, energy, and those credit cards.
Good.
There we go. Fred understands what dating's all about. Patience and money. Oh, coppers.
I will not go back. It is impossible.
Put your hands behind your head.
Do it, Michello. You don't know these cops like me.
But don't shoot him, man! He's a hero!
One of the cops, played by Daryl Sheeler, who's a stuntman by profession.
Does he work?
Yep. Canadian based, obviously, so he's been in Flash Gordon, Caprica, Eureka, a few episodes.
Well, I was wondering if Yorks is a stuntman on this show. Sorry, I just left out some important words there.
Yeah, sad fact that nothing lasts forever. He didn't say mind your head. I thought all American cops said mind your head.
But they're not American cops, they're Canadian.
Yes, but they're in America, playing American cops. Unless Michello's really gone.
It's fake America.
Michello's managed to cross the border. This was pre-9/11, of course.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Daniel. They found the guy. They're bringing him in. You have to wake up.
No, he can't. It's only the second season.
Hmm? No, he can't die. Well, this is Daniel.
Well,
yeah. He can't die. It doesn't really apply to Daniel.
He can't die permanently. Crinkle, crinkle.
Paper. Good. Sorry, I need to print something off after this. And I've just stumbled across. Paper just leapt out at me and said, here I am. Face looks, is that a lot of mascara? Is she actually that young, Tara Rothery? Because just in that shot there, she looked like well under 30.
Yeah, probably very, very good makeup. Mind you, what's
that's
this?
Cruel.
When this was recorded, what, you're about 36, 37?
Bloody good for that. I'm 38 and I don't look that good.
You have impeccable timing. Sam, they're on their way in. We should get that machine of his in here.
That's a bit worrying. He really was paranoid, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was captured and tortured. Of course he was paranoid.
Yeah, and made sure that nobody could use his technology but
you're
him.
You're only paranoid if you think you have threats against you, you know? He clearly did.
Reverse what you've done to my people.
I cannot do what is impossible.
Then you won't cooperate.
On the contrary, I am telling you the truth. It is not possible.
I say, he won't help, he can't help.
Well, we're not a coma patient. Or someone who's irrevocably insane. Someone whose mind is sort of blank.
Well, I suppose they can only do something like that once with a Dokra.
I mean, somebody who has serious mental issues but no physical issues.
Yeah, but then that's taking somebody who can't give permission and killing them.
Like the end of BSG. Where was your man's informed consent about flying into the sun?
He were flying the ship. He could do what he wanted.
Even if I wanted to change it, I could not.
If he didn't want to fly into it, he did have to. He was actually flying the ship.
Was he compass mentis, though?
I have no idea.
It's an intriguing query.
I say, at this stage now, you begin to think Michello isn't just someone out having a bit of fun. He's a bit of a nasty little sod.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's pragmatic.
Thank you for coming.
Hope you're enjoying the scenery. It's the only view you'll have for the rest of your life.
Yes. That is why I called you. I thought perhaps I might be able to negotiate for better accommodations.
We're listening.
First, let me apologize for the unfortunate transference of your colonel and the Jaffa.
Just get to the point.
And if the NID heard about it...
The symbols you've no doubt tried to decipher are unique. In form, they're similar to my native language, but they're actually an original code I devised in case my work came into enemy hands.
We're not your enemy. If anything, we're allies.
That is why I will teach Captain Carter that code. With my knowledge, I guarantee you, not only will you be able to effectively defend yourselves against the Goa'uld, you will in fact be able to defeat them.
And our cost for this knowledge?
Next generation level morality here.
My freedom, of course.
And Dr. Jackson?
He is not an issue.
Not an issue? We're talking about a friend's life.
Your friend was my solution to hiding my face permanently. Consider him a casualty of war. I am offering you the salvation of your planet. Is this not worth more than the life of one archaeologist?
I don't know about the customs of your planet. But here on Earth, the value of a life is priceless.
I want you to get to know your casualty.
You've got to admit, you know, what he's offering is pretty good.
I mean, realistically, Daniel's not part of the military.
No. Mayborn would have no worries about doing this.
Mayborn would do it in an instant.
He would, yeah.
In fact, Mayborn would just call up some private and go, you're going on a special mission. It's extremely dangerous. You probably won't come back. And we'll do it that way. Oh, and here we come to a bit that I have issues with because I've discussed this with an MD or similar things.
What's that?
Let me just check the heart monitor. I'll let you know if I have actual issues with it. Yes, I'm reading ahead again. There isn't an actual heart monitor there.
Isn't there?
Well, no, there's no. I don't see an oscilloscope. I certainly don't see a heart rate display.
Oh, fair enough. You've got Michelle and Daniel face to face.
As it were.
Yeah. And the simple question is why, and Michello, basically...
The least you could do was compensate me with another. What right do you have to judge the value of my life? I have suffered more than anyone should suffer in a lifetime. For 50 years, I fought against the Goa'uld. Then I was betrayed by my wife, whom they secretly turned into a host. So was mine.
Quite cold. I've fought the Gord most of my life. People have sacrificed themselves for me, and so should you.
Yes, nasty. They made his wife a host. And Daniel's like, hey, been there, done that. Got the postcard.
It's surprising the polarity. Would that, yeah, that'd work, wouldn't it? Between their two lives.
That's what you're looking for. You're going for the word similarity.
Similarity, yeah, I suppose that would work. No, I was thinking about polarity. Parallelism between their two lives.
Mm-hmm.
Both had wives, both taken.
Mm-hmm.
Both highly intelligent people, but in slightly separate fields.
You would do the same, though I wouldn't. Because then I would become no better than the Gould. I am not a Gould.
I'm not sure I buy the idea that Michello at this stage could be talked out of it without a gun being put to his head.
Well, I don't think he was he?
Well, while he can't think of the solution, he does actually go along with it. They don't force him.
You get the distinct impression that he could.
You're a good Michello. I am nothing but a host to you.
I am not a number. I'm a free man. Or is that the actual knife going in? You're as bad as the people you fought.
There's a chance I could still save her. You are stealing that chance. Even if you still had this body, you will never find her.
Mm-hmm. Michello slash Daniel. We have Daniel slash Michello and Michello slash Daniel. I'm thinking, this is just confusing. It's still the same actor.
There's lots of websites out there with Daniel slash something or other.
Yeah, Daniel slash Daniel.
Why not?
Love thyself.
V-fib. Prepare the paddles. Come on, Daniel. Got a heartbeat, but I don't know for how long.
Okay, now, pulse will not be zero. If his pulse was zero, then you need to do a shot of adrenaline directly to the heart. You say, that's a pulse of zero. That's not V-fib. Ventricular fibrillation is the heart beating out of sync and not properly.
Yeah, you've gone over this before, haven't you?
Get Colonel O'Neill and Teal.
What's going on, Captain?
I think I may have come up with a solution to this whole mess.
Fine way.
Well, sorry, I had
this one that bothers you
with an MD, I know.
Oh, that's a cold look. Indifference. Yeah. And I suppose the idea if Daniel's body, no, not Michello's body, dies, then the game's over.
Game over, man!
You let her know that.
So you think that was actually him saying something which he came to regret? Or
possibly slip that it is possible.
I like the little rise on his heels. You see Jack do a lot. Got that right.
Colonel,
here.
How do you feel, physically?
Peachy.
The transference was successful. Physically, we are fine. Please continue, Captain.
All right. Now, you and Daniel.
A bit of a camp voice, isn't it? I didn't think Michello was that way inclined.
This is still... So we have Michello swapping with...
Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen if two people were on one side?
Rip one hand leech.
Yeah.
With one person, you might get a case of NPD. You're replicated by the scientist. So this is Michello in O'Neill's body.
No, well, no.
That's Michello in O'Neill's body exchanging with Daniel. I like this little...
Wow. A dream. What happened?
I don't have time to explain right now, Daniel. Just bear with me.
Okay. Danny boy. Jack?
Yeah. That's right. Danny boy.
It's okay, Daniel. I'll treat your body well.
That was a good combination, Daniel.
It's all right. I'll figure it out. Please.
You see, if I wrote this, I'd have made Daniel lactose intolerant. Given that he's got allergies, it's not unreasonable to think he might be lactose intolerant.
And now we have Michello going back into his own body.
I am myself again.
Mm-hmm. What did he say there?
Dale's back.
Mm-hmm. I am myself again.
Perhaps it should have been we are ourselves again.
Yes. Come on, Daniel. Isn't Jack as Daniel just patronising a little?
Daniel's almost like Jack's younger brother in many ways. I think they build that sort of relationship.
And then this lovely comment from Jack.
Shave my head?
Right. You expect him to have like a Jewish sort of hive,
a little double slap.
He's conscious again.
Thank you. For my holiday.
So we really don't know how long he was... Because Tyrk recognised the face, and presumably not the old face. Presumably not an older version of a young face.
Yeah. And he said he'd been fighting the Gore for 50 years, but you don't know how long he was in stasis after that. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that may have been the face they last knew of him, and then he went away for a number of years.
And some of the technology. It was a fairly cheap episode, Fred aside.
Well, that's what made me think that the street scenes were done on the fly.
Welcome back, SG-1.
It's like when they shot the Star Trek stuff with Chekhov and Uhura. That was done without any setup in Star Trek 4.
Oh, yes, the Voyage Home.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than shooting a street scene than in the distance seeing all the barriers with all the people amassed watching them.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of throws you out of the movie.
Indeed. Interesting episode with, again, they've left themselves some nice possible setups for future. They don't have to drop it in, but as with some episodes, they leave stuff open so they can choose to use it if they want to.
Well, it's sensible writing, isn't it? You never know when something you've covered earlier on can be brought back and expanded upon. I mean, let's face it, though, if they had done the deal with Michello, the series would probably be over. Because they'd have nothing to worry about from the Gold.
So, next week's episode, One False Step.
Oh, dear.
On a team reconnaissance mission, the SG-1 team discover a civilization of friendly, innocent aliens, but suddenly the aliens begin to fall ill. A plague somehow caused by the team sweeps across the planet, and Jack O'Neill and Daniel Jackson are infected too. Can the team save themselves and the entire civilization? I have no memory whatsoever of that episode.
I remember this episode as being perhaps one of the worst I've ever seen.
Worse than Need?
Yes, I think so.
Oh dear.
I remember just these little white people running around this big empty field with these huts and big funny plants, and no positive memories about it at all.
next on Stargate SG-1.
I love that.
What was that it crashed into?
A bizarre alien life form.
I have never before encountered such a species.
Are they friendly?
Is falling victim to a mysterious epidemic.
What if we're causing this?
And SG-1 may be the source.
Our presence here may make more of them ill.
Now, their efforts to find a cure.
What are we going to do?
How should I know?
Well, maybe you could try coming up with something a little bit better than inappropriate sarcasm.
Is turning SG-1 against each other.
We are killing a whole race of people here! How can I not care?
On the next Stargate SG-1.
I don't remember Show and Tell either.
Show and Tell.
A young boy mysteriously appears to Stargate Command and pleads for help.
Oh, yeah.
Invisible aliens.
The Ritu, is it? Something the Ritu?
I don't know. No, those two episodes are a complete blank to me. I remember 1969, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the classics, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And Out of Mind, Part 1 and 2. As a season finale, to be honest with you, I thought it was a little weak.
Well, I say we'll talk about it when we get there, which won't be long.
If we ever get there.
Yeah, Holiday. I enjoyed that episode, especially when I went into it not quite remembering everything about it, so I got a few surprises.
Hmm. Well, at least you did decide to watch it before we formally watched it.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't get levels of dead air as we were sort of both kind of gripped by the episode. See, this is where you drop in these little interesting facts, and I'm sort of going, ooh. No, that one I remember fairly well.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
It's news time. David Hewlett's latest role is in the movie Splice, which opens at the box office on the 4th of June, a sci-fi horror thriller starring Adrian Brody. David doesn't play a mad scientist, but the bureaucrat who oversees the experiments, a complete reversal of his Atlantis role. It's reported that Ben Browder has bowed out of his role in Hellcats, which has been picked up for a series production. It's not unusual for cast changes from a pilot to a series. It would have been good to see Ben in a regular role on TV. The first season of SGU will be released on Blu-ray in the UK on the 5th of July, according to Amazon, for an eye-watering $49.99. The distributor must have a very high opinion of their product to ask for that price. The DVD box set released on the same day is priced at $37.99.
Come try ya!
And I'm just trying to recall where in the timeline, I think it's about halfway through season 4, most people's favourite episode ever is. I could look it up.
What, has that got some reference to Holiday?
No.
Oh, you're just bringing it up. Oh, right. Why?
I have no idea. The interconnectedness of things. Anywho, I think we can call it a wrap. And at 12, which is the time you said you wanted to finish it.
Yeah, that's not bad going. If you want to get in touch with us, you can visit our homepage at gatecast.facecast.com or our Facebook page, search for The Gatecast. Our email address is gatecast@facecast.com, which is ready to receive both MP3 audio comments and plain email. And believe me, we want to hear from fans of Stargate, about our own show, both good and bad, and of course the franchise in general. We are listed on iTunes, so any feedback or simply giving us a rating is appreciated, and we have a podcast pickle listening. Many thanks to those who have already taken the time to contact us or leave feedback. It's always appreciated. We also have 3 promos on the feed and on the website. Any podcaster out there with their own promo, feel free to send it to us and we'd be delighted to play it. If you play ours in return, even better.
Thanks for listening. I've been me.
That's it. You've been you.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've been him as well.
You wish.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.